Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us, a Confessional Lutheran Broadcast. Last week we talked about the Good Shepherd, and we'll continue to discuss that this morning. Reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. On Easter Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead. That evening, he appeared to his disciples and gave to them the keys of the kingdom of heaven that he had promised. He said to them, "Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." The office of the keys is the authority that Jesus gave to the church, and only to the church, to forgive the sins of penitent sinners and to retain the sins of impenitent sinners as long as they do not repent. This office or power belongs to the entire church. It doesn't belong only to certain members of the church. It is the authority to preach the gospel and administer the sacraments. Through the gospel and the sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit is given to us. It is through the gospel that the Holy Spirit establishes faith in our hearts. He leads us to trust in Christ and the blood he shed on the cross for us. Without the Holy Spirit, nobody can become a Christian. It is through the gospel that the Holy Spirit keeps us in the Christian faith until we die. The office of the keys is a church power. It doesn't belong to the state. The state can imprison criminals, wage just wars, and provide for civil justice, but it cannot forgive a single sin of a single sinner. The church alone has this authority. The authority of the state is severely limited by sin. After all, you cannot change human nature simply by dropping bombs or putting criminals in jail. After the murder of 32 people at Virginia Tech at the hands of a psychopathic killer, the talking heads on TV were very busy trying to figure out how to stop such a thing from happening in the future. The answer is obvious. You cannot stop it. No human power can change hearts. No human power can prevent crime. But the church has a power that can and does change hearts. Think of Peter as an example. He denied his Lord three times. Afterwards, he was filled with remorse. He went out and shed bitter tears. But as the hymnist so rightly says, "Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone, thou must save and thou alone." And that's what Jesus did. He died for the sin of the world and rose from the dead. He appeared to the 11 disciples to give them the power of the keys, and then he came specifically to Peter. Three times Peter had denied him. Three times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him. Three times Peter said that he did. Three times Jesus asked Peter to feed his sheep. Jesus forgave Peter, and that changed his life. Then he sent Peter out to be a pastor in his church, that is, to preach his gospel and administer his sacraments, for this is how Christ's sheep are fed. Many claim that Peter was the first pope and that Jesus' call to Peter to feed his sheep was Jesus placing Peter into the office of the papacy. But this is not true. The papacy was an historical development that took several centuries to form. No, Jesus was not calling Peter to be a pope. He was calling him to be a pastor. And that's all Peter ever was or wanted to be. He was the first among equals, for all pastors are equal. The reason is simple. They all have the same authority, the authority of God's word. The power of the keys may be described in various ways, but it's always the same thing. It is the authority to preach the law and the gospel, to forgive and retain sins, to preach God's word and administer the sacraments of Christ. Jesus gave this authority to the church, and this is why God calls pastors through the church. Not only has Jesus given to the church the power of the keys, He has also given to the church the pastoral office so that the keys might be exercised for the benefit of his sheep. Jesus sent out the original pastors directly, as recorded in the Gospels. He has sent subsequent pastors through the call of the church. Peter, like all other pastors, was an under-shepherd of the Good Shepherd. The word pastor is another word for shepherd. Jesus is the good pastor. All other pastors are under the authority of Jesus Christ. They are called by God through the church to feed the sheep that belong to Christ. They are to feed Christ's sheep. The sheep belong to Christ. They don't belong to the pastor. They are to feed Christ's sheep by preaching to them everything that God wants them to teach and nothing but what God wants them to teach. This is the food by which the Good Shepherd, through his under-shepherds, cares for his flock. Listen to what St. Paul said to the pastors in the church at Ephesus as recorded by St. Luke in Acts 20, 27 and 28. "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." The pastoral office is a divine institution. Jesus Christ, the good pastor, established it. There are some who falsely teach that Jesus did not actually establish any specific office in his church, but that he simply gave the gospel and the sacraments to the church and left it up to her to form whatever ministerial offices she chose. They teach that the pastoral office is an historical development that is not specifically established by God. They teach that whenever anyone, whether a pastor or not, teaches God's word on behalf of the believers, this person has a divine call into the public ministry of the word. But this is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ himself formed and fashioned the pastoral office for the purpose of preaching the gospel and administering the sacraments so that his sheep would be fed with his holy word. Christ's words are life. They bestow life. They sustain life. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and he gives his life to the sheep. First, he gives his life for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep when he dies for them. As we sing in the Lenten hymn, "What punishment so strange is suffered yonder, the shepherd dies for sheep that love to wander." His death for the sheep occurs once and only once. Good Friday cannot be repeated. It's not as if the Good Shepherd keeps on giving up his life for the sheep, dying and rising. He fully paid for all sins of all sinners on the cross. There was no punishment deserved by the human race that he didn't suffer. There was no crime he didn't pay for. All sin in general, and every sin in particular, was imputed to him. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and then he receives his life back again on Easter Sunday. We confess that he is risen. He is risen, perfect tense, not he was risen, past tense. The past tense simply means that it happened in the past, and the past is the past. The perfect tense means that the past event has a present significance. He is risen, and he is among us. He who gave his life for the sheep is here among us to give his life to the sheep. The gospel is never just words a preacher preaches. The good shepherd is the one who shepherds the flock. He is the one who gave his life for the sheep. He is the one who raised himself from the dead. He is the one who sent out preachers to preach his word and administer his sacraments. He is the one who feeds his sheep by means of the words that his preachers preach. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," so wrote David. "I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep," so says Jesus. Jesus, who is David's son and David's Lord, has fulfilled Psalm 23, David's psalm. The green pastures and still waters of the psalm are the gospel and sacraments Christ has graciously bestowed on his church. Luther paraphrases this in one of his hymns, "Thy people's pasture is thy word, their souls to feed and nourish, in righteous paths to keep them." The sheep belong to the shepherd, and the shepherd belongs to the sheep. The words of the shepherd are the sheep's food, and this means that the sheep are to judge the teaching of their pastors to ensure that they are being fed with the wholesome word of God. Jesus teaches us all to beware of false prophets who come to us in sheep's clothing. The pure teaching of God's word is not just the responsibility of the preachers who preach it. It is the responsibility of the hearers who hear it. St. Paul urges us to mark and avoid those who teach contrary to the sound doctrine of God's word. This means that the laity, literally the people, are responsible for what their pastors teach to them. This is one reason why we require the children to memorize Luther's Small Catechism. This is a sound summary of the Christian doctrine that they put into their minds and hearts, and for the rest of their lives, they will be able to judge the doctrine that they are taught by their pastors. Is it the teaching of the good pastor, Jesus? Every Christian has the right to hear the good news, the pure gospel proclaimed. Jesus has purchased this right with his holy, precious blood. A hireling is one who teaches what the itching ears want to hear. He keeps his mouth shut when threatened by those who have power over his position and means of making a living. He measures his message by considering his own well-being and popularity rather than the welfare of Christ's sheep. But any minister who, out of fear, refuses to stand on the clear word of God is no minister of Christ, but a hired hand to be marked and avoided by the faithful. Every Christian is responsible for what his pastor preaches because Jesus alone is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. We were all lost, going astray, stuck in the bog of our own sin and spiritual blindness. There was no good grass, no good water. We were easy prey to every sharp-toothed predator out there. Only the gospel of Christ can save us. It will always point us to him who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. There's nothing that God teaches us that is not for our spiritual benefit, because our good shepherd has taught us that we live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's why we cherish the gospel of Christ and call on our pastors to preach it and teach it to us in its truth and purity. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This broadcast is sponsored by members of First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. We have divine service every Sunday morning at First Evanger in Fertile at 8 o'clock, Grace at Crookston at 9:30, and First American at Mayville at 11:30. Please tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.